Of course, the whole of the gospel, all four gospel accounts, the whole of the story reveals the nature of Jesus to us. In his teaching and healing and challenging and traveling, we hear who Jesus is. But the stories we hear in this Epiphany season are more about revelation than they are about anything else. They take the revelation of Jesus as their content and not just their consequence. Jesus is revealed to the Magi, and Jesus is revealed by the Magi. At his baptism, Jesus is revealed to be the Son of God. In the weeks to come, we will hear Jesus' self-revelation in the words of the prophet Isaiah. And then in a flashback gospel reading on the Feast of the Presentation, we will hear Jesus revealed as the light of the world to Simeon and to Anna in the temple. This season of Epiphany is a season of attending to how Jesus is revealed and to whom Jesus is revealed and what that all means. And this week, we have the story of Jesus turning water into wine, his first sign, his first self-revelation, according to John's account, taking place in the context of family and friends and neighbors gathered to celebrate a wedding. But that sign, by which it says Jesus revealed his glory, is not the only way in which Jesus is revealed in this story. There are many revelations. First, consider the guest list. Jesus' mother is invited to this wedding, and so is Jesus, and so are his disciples. But remember that Jesus isn't famous yet. There's no reason to invite his friends just because they're Jesus' friends. He hasn't yet developed an entourage. So everyone is included in this guest list in their own right as members of this community. It's a good reminder to us that Jesus came from people, just like we all come from people. And it suggests that Jesus drew at least some of his disciples from that home circle, the kids he grew up with, whose parents knew his parents. And while Jesus would come to challenge the primacy of those kinds of relationships and call us to a broader understanding of family and mutual love, he started there. His first sign was a gift to a local wedding where he was celebrating amongst friends. Not that this first sign was entirely his idea, mind you. That opening exchange between Jesus and his mother is a masterclass in understatement. Our narrator gives us almost nothing. No description of facial expression or tone of voice, no internal monologues, no body language, and yet somehow we can see it all, perhaps because it's a fairly familiar story. The proud, slightly overbearing mother, the resistant son, gently but firmly overruled. Mary could be insisting he play the party a song on the piano, or run out to get more ice, or break up a fight between some drunken party guests. But she's calling for more, and they both know it. Mary knows what her son is capable of. And Mary seems pretty sure that his hour has indeed come, regardless of what he might say about the matter. At his baptism, Jesus is revealed to be the beloved Son of God. At this wedding, Jesus is revealed to be the beloved and obedient, if sometimes petulant, woman. What does that have to do with you and to me? The beloved and obedient Son of Mary. And it is this relationship that launches his ministry, according to John's account. Mary, who has watched Jesus grow, and to borrow from another gospel account, has pondered the mystery of who he is since his birth, calls him to step into the fullness of his identity, just as Jesus calls us to step into ours. And she does it by involving the servants. Do whatever he tells you. And so it takes a team to perform Jesus' first sign, and not his own team of disciples or a team of prestigious guests or holy people, but the servant team, put to work and let in on the secret. Can't imagine they were thrilled about it at first. Filling those jars would have been a laborious task. It's not like they had a garden hose handy. So we've got put-out servants following the instructions of a put-out son at a party where the wine is drying up and the guests are starting to notice and the hosts are getting worried. I can feel my anxiety levels rising. It's like an episode of Downton Abbey. But once the water is hauled and the jars are filled to the brim, the servants discover they have been part of something astonishing. And they alone know who is responsible. Do they tell, I wonder? No one in the story thinks to ask them about where this wine came from, with admiration being passed up the social ladder rather than down. Jesus' first sign is performed at a party for the community in partnership with the servants. Jesus, who is revealed as the King of the Jews by the visit of the Magi, is now revealed to be one with those who serve, one with those who are overlooked, one with those at the edges of the party. And then there's the sign itself. Gallons and gallons and gallons of good wine, so much more than could possibly have been needed. Jesus is, after all, God's Son, who created a world of astonishing abundance, who created us for love and life that overflows all our understanding, all our attempts to contain it. And I know it doesn't always feel like it. I know our abundant world is groaning under the demands we are placing on it. I know our lives can feel dry and our hearts can ache for lack of love. And I know that sometimes we look around and all we see is evidence of need rather than abundance. But the thing is, what we really see is evidence of need even in the context of abundance. The good wine has been created, gallons and gallons of it. But instead of letting it flow freely, it is hoarded and hidden and controlled. So Jesus' first sign, launched by Mary in the context of his community with the help of the servants, needs still more people to bring it to completion. The steward, upon tasting that excellent wine, could have refused to share it on the grounds that surely the bridegroom didn't mean to waste such fine wine on already drunken guests. Or the bridegroom himself could have decided that he would rather keep that wine for himself, or perhaps serve it only to his most important guests. But they didn't. The steward celebrated what he assumed was the bridegroom's astonishing generosity, and they poured out good wine for all, including those who were too drunk to notice, those who might have been deemed undeserving or unappreciative or unimportant. There is a lot going on in this first sign. which means there is room for each one of us to find ourselves in this story. So where are you? Are you a guest at the party, disappointed to find the wine has run out? Are you responsible for the party, embarrassed and anxious that the wine has run out? Are you Mary, calling for action, whether from Jesus or from someone you know who has capacities that they haven't yet realized? Are you the servant, doing the work without knowing why? Or perhaps you find yourself at the other end of the sign, a servant astonished by the miraculous result of your labor on Jesus' instruction, or a guest sharing and experiencing the gift of the wine without knowing where it came from, or even perhaps the bridegroom taking credit for something that you had very little to do with. You can even be Jesus in this story, responding to a call to give of yourself, even if it isn't quite what you imagined your call to be or when you thought you were ready to step into action. On this Sunday in Epiphany, Jesus is revealed to us to be one who lives in our world, embedded in family systems and community demands and labor dynamics, just like all of us, called to be fully himself for the good of all, just like all of us, so that God's glory may be revealed. This is the Jesus we are invited to follow, the life we are offered in his company. So, my friends, let the good wine flow.